Welcome to another episode of Greetings and Salutations. This is Wayne O'Connor from WayneO'Connor.com. May Jesus Christ richly bless you and keep you.
You are your Father's Son. You are your Father's Son in each and every way. You are His eternal paragon each and every day. All honor and glory to you, O Jesus, Yahweh's Son. Yes, Jesus, you are, you are, you are, you are your Father's Son.
Wars in the Stars Dream. Dreamed on the morning of May 4th, 2018. When the dream began, I was walking in a mall. The Holy Spirit whispered for me to follow. And so I followed him, and I ended up in front of a theater in the mall. And the Holy Spirit whispered, "I have something to show you, Wayne. It will illustrate issues within the kingdom that are problems for many of its spiritual leaders, which keep them weak and inefficient in their service." After I went inside, I don't remember buying a ticket. Suddenly, I was just watching a scene that occurred in a plush lounge area of a space station. Two older gentlemen were talking together. I immediately recognized the actor who was sitting in front of a picture window that had a beautiful space panorama of stars and a colored miasma like northern lights, except it was a glowing, twinkling, swirling mixture of pinks, purples, and maroons. The actor was John Rhys Davies, and he was dressed in luxurious clothes representative of a barbarian king. While most of his garb was of fine wool and silk, he also wore a sleeveless leather tunic as an overshirt that had coarse dark fur decorated with animal claws, and he was wearing this over a gray silk ruffled collar shirt. The leather coarse-haired tunic was open at the neck in a wide V and loosely laced with a leather thong. The kings of his country were the only people who wore the coarse garment, which looked out of place when worn in combination with his other finely crafted attire. He was sitting, sipping a cup of tea. His character thanked the other man, a middle-aged black dignitary, who was standing on the other side of the coffee table. The king was thanking the ambassador for inviting him to Star Command Space Station and offering his planet forgiveness for having formed an alliance with an alien species that pretended to have good intentions, but ended up forcing them to be embroiled in a galactic rebellion. The black actor, who had been referred to as Pylos, was someone I had remembered seeing in a science fiction movie. I didn't know the actor's name. I went onto the internet and searched for black sci-fi actors. Of course, dozens of pictures came up, and I was about to give up scrolling when I saw the actor from the dream. The actor was Idris Elba. He was younger and wearing modern clothes in the picture, which contrasted with the way the makeup personnel had outfitted him. Elba was costumed in the dream in a white toga that resembled the style favored by ancient Greek politicians as portrayed in many contemporary movies and television shows. His toga was clasped at the waist by a spiraled metallic golden rope. Elba's garment had a red and gold sash that draped diagonally around the toga's left shoulder down and around his right side, a silver and black emblem that resembled the Ace of Spades symbol on a deck of playing cards, superimposed over a field of stars, was embossed on the right breast of his toga. White hair graced his sideburns and Van Dyke. The Stygian-complexioned actor was standing rather than sitting in front of the table where the actor, played by John Rhys Davies, was seated. The tables and chairs were designed in a futuristic silver and glass design. The white marble and silvery glass reminded me of the word chryselephantine, except that the furniture was of ordinary size. A few tan urns with exotic yellow flowers that filled the room with a delicate aroma of oranges and cinnamon complemented the small enclosed lounge area. While the two gentlemen appeared to be alone within the confines of the small room, a brace of security personnel dressed in black leather like ninjas stood at attention outside, but clearly visible through the panes of glass. The actor, John Rhys Davies, gestured with his hand towards the Star Command ambassador and said, "When we were young, we were the best of friends. Your parents and my parents were stationed at the embassy on Kyros V. Your father, Pylos, like you are now, was an ambassador, and my parents were the representatives from the noble house of Barenzia. Back then, life was wild and free. I was only interested in finding adventures and exploring the ruined ancient city not far from the base station. I always knew that I would be given a post, because I am of royal blood, but I never imagined to be rewarded with the throne." Pylos smiled, a wan, shamefaced grin. "Ah, don't forget the wild knights partaking in the wine, women, and song of the various station cantinas, Azza. Excuse me, King Azzaduin." Azzaduin waved his hand dismissively. "You were my best friend in the days of our youth, until time and circumstance parted us. You will always be Pylos, and I will always simply be Azzaduin. The wealthy noble son who constantly dared and tempted you to join me in foolishness and mischief. Those were the days, my friend." Pylos picked up an electronic device from the table as he smiled. "Indeed, my old friend Azza, those were the days." The tubular device was silver and hummed faintly when Pylos retrieved it from the table. The device resembled an old-fashioned scroll as it unrolled smoothly like a precision instrument. While the exterior of the device was quicksilver in nature and appearance, the inner confines of the unit, when it scrolled open horizontally in the hands of the ambassador, was the color of aged ivory, except for the monitor face, which was creamed lilac in hue. The device had the ability to hover firmly in place as the user operated it. Pylos brushed his finely ringed finger in short, quick motions like one would use while operating a touchscreen computer. "You mentioned, Azza, that time and circumstance separated us. Interesting way to phrase that, Azza." Azza carefully placed his teacup, which emitted a click and chimed faintly like fine crystal as it connected with the table's surface. He looked away, sadness replacing his happy countenance, and sighed. "I did torment you, Pylos, way too much about the religion of your family. You served the Ancient One, the Creator God. Our gods, small g gods, were young and foolish and winked at our recklessness. He was ancient and seemingly stern, but kind and wise and fair. I mocked you for your devotion to him, secretly envied the strong character it had molded into you, and provoked you to revel in indiscretion whenever possible. Now I am indeed, dear friend, sorry for that." King Azzaduin absently rubbed the coarse brown fur of his sleeveless tunic before continuing. "During the long journey that transpired before I became king, would you believe, I tired at the games of the common small g gods. I too dedicated my life to the service of the one you serve. Not long after that, I was asked to be king and went alone on the ritual hunt to slay the great and dreaded mountain cat, the Drolloc, with its steely claws and long fangs, to test my worthiness to be king of my people." Pylos lifted his hands from the power scroll, beamed in joyous amazement, and exclaimed, "Creator be praised! Azza, I did not know that. That is wonderful news, my friend." King Azzaduin smiled wanly. "Indeed it is, dearest Pylos. And yet for all of that, I fell for the evil deception of the Nordic Draconian Rebellion." "Unfortunate," offered Ambassador Pylos, "but that too has now been rectified, and if you follow through with your plans to renounce the Nordic Draconian Alliance, all will be forgiven for you and for your people. I am sorry, Pylos. When I invited them to our embassy for talks, we had not seen the evil they had wrought throughout the galaxy. The Draconians, with their cold, lizard-like aloofness and icy stares, we tolerated. But the Nordics were a strong, handsome, fair-haired people of diplomacy and genteel manners, who seemed the epitome of benevolence and wisdom. Their women were tall, slender, and exquisitely beautiful, angelic beings far beyond the fairest of women among my people. Charming, great conversationalists, and skilled at intrigue and erotic seduction. One of the reasons, announced Pylos, I invited you through official embassy channels, Aza, was because I had assumed that you had been deceived. I had hoped to give you pardon, at least for a chance to remain neutral in the conflict. My true hope was that you would ally with Star Command instead of the Alliance. For all of your deviltry of youth, Aza, even then I could see that you were also of noble character. Yes, you could at times be stubbornly proud or overly focused on yourself, but you were unusually kind, honorable, and skirted the line, but you were never drawn to evil, just carnal indulgence and anything mysterious. Even then, I had hopes that one day Creator would draw you into his bosom. King Azadwin collected his tea again and nodded briefly. He intoned, "It shall be done. I will sign the paperwork when you are ready and to make it official, then emboss the seal with my king's ring." "Make it so," continued Ambassador Pylos in delegate's jargon. Pylos then flicked his finger along the horizontal screen of his power scroll once more and added, "The other reason that I called you here, Aza, is more personal. Creator talked to me in a night vision recently. I recorded the event into my power scroll. I will read it to you. Pylos, my servant, I have chosen to visit you to share my heart with you this night. While you have ever sought to honor my laws, in service to me and as a leader within the government of Star Command, you have lost your first love. Repent and return to me. You must also seek out your childhood friend, Aza. As you know, from your knowledge at court as an ambassador, I enthroned him several years ago as king of his country. You must warn him for his sake and the sake of his people that they have been deceived by the Nordic Draconian Alliance. The Nordics and the Draconians are and always have been and always shall be allied with the Fallen Ones and are my sworn enemies. Even though King Azadwin is not a member of the royal priesthood of my people, he is a chosen servant. It is time for you to make peace with him and work together for my kingdom. It is also a time for discernment. Not all who say they serve me belong to me. I am not forbidding you to convert those who do not serve me, but you must not make an alliance with them, especially if they follow rituals and practices that are far from my heart and written instructions. Remember, Pylos, my beloved child, the battle is mine. I am, I have always been, I always shall be. You must serve as my faithful witness, my darling Pylos, before humans, creatures, and celestials. Do not fear. Serve me with a pure and devoted heart. These things, and the fact that I have redeemed you, are necessary to be worthy to be my servant, soldier, priest in the coming cosmic battle." The movie continued, but I don't remember any of it after that, except for hazy snippets and brief flashbacks that make little sense. I have a feeling that it was like a cross between Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. Mostly I remember following the scene where Pylos and Azadwin rekindled their friendship, merely joining the throng of moviegoers who were exiting the theater. I came out behind two teenage girls who were animatedly talking about the movie and were on their way to visit a store that sold souvenirs for the movies that were playing. I followed them not too far around the hallway to an area that had kiosks and shelving unit niches that displayed the movie memorabilia items. I had heard one of the girls mention the only scene from the movie that I remember. She said that the scene where the ambassador Philos was reading to King Azadwine was allegedly printed on a t-shirt that was for sale in the mall. Just then, the other girl squealed and pointed at a table that had toys and models of the different actors, spaceships, and aliens. I spotted the t-shirt rack, which was in a wall niche, and dashed over to it. I had wanted to buy the souvenir shirt as an object lesson piece and use it to illustrate the teaching I was going to write. Unfortunately, that t-shirt was sold out. I wondered if there was a book or other item in the store that would suffice, but I woke up as I was wondering where I could find another item to use as my object lesson. Now, I do apologize. I may have misremembered something from the dream, or I may have interpreted it incorrectly. But to the best of my knowledge, it is my burden to share this dream and to provide what the Lord has shown me to give as a teaching. I think there were basically five things Jesus was showing me in this dream. One, we all need to seek Jesus to see if we are really giving him the love and devotion he expects and deserves. We need to seek Jesus for what is going on behind the scenes and ask him to give us clarity, because the reality just doesn't make sense. We need more discernment on who our brothers and sisters are so that we don't confuse them with the vessels of the enemy. We need to make amends with our brothers and sisters and learn to work together in these last days. The demons have worked overtime to infiltrate our gatherings and plant false doctrine and splinter us into competitive factions that have weakened us and the efficiency of our service to Jesus and his kingdom. That said, we must make sure not to make alliances in the typical ecumenical manner where we unite with everyone from snake charmers to New Age gurus and false Christian leaders and various occultists who are attempting to form the one world religion. We must be ready to preach the gospel to any present who may hear, no matter who they are or who they serve, not necessarily for salvation, but as a witness to all, human or non-human or partially human, that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings eternally. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Wayne O'Connor from WayneO'Connor.com. And this is Greetings and Salutations, my radio show. And I've never just recorded a dream, but the dream was so interesting that I thought I would share it on my radio show.
You are your father's son. You are your father's son in each and every way. You are his eternal paragon each and every day. All honor and glory to you, O Jesus Yahweh Son. Yes, Jesus, you are your father's son.
Anyway, this is Wayne O'Connor from WayneO'Connor.com blog, wishing you a good day or a great evening, whatever the case may be. Thank you for listening. See you next time
on the Greetings and Salutations radio show.